The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on September 30th, 1986 at Nupanihati Dham in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 22, Text 8.
Jayo Jayo Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Daita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. When is Paran? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rayanam Namaskritya Narang Chaiva Narottam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jai Mudiyajit Vakakuroti Vachalam Pangulam Gayate Giriñat Kripatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinacharinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Swaram. First I'll read one verse in the Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita. Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 8. King Tasya Durla Bharatam Iha loke paratracha yasya vipra prasidanti sivo vishnu shasanugaha. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Avaicharan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Any person upon whom the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are pleased can achieve anything which is very rare to obtain in this world as well as after death. Not only that, but one also receives the favor of the auspicious Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, who accompany the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Purport. The Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are the bearers of Lord Vishnu, the all auspicious, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5:38. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Hidayeshu Vilokayanti Yang Syama Sundarama Chintya Gunasarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. The devotees, out of their extreme love for Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always carry the Lord in their hearts, within their hearts. The Lord is already in the heart of everyone, but the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas actually perceive and see Him always in ecstasy. Therefore, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are carriers of Vishnu wherever they go. Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, or the devotees of Lord Vishnu are all carried. The four Kumaras are Brahmanas, and they visited the place of Maharaj Prithu. Naturally, Lord Vishnu and his devotees were also present. Under the circumstances, the conclusion is that when the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are pleased with a person, Lord Vishnu is also pleased. This is confirmed by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura in his 8 stanzas on the spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada. By pleasing the spiritual master, who is both Brahmana and Vaishnava, one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased, then one has nothing more to achieve either in this world or after death. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami purports to text 8, chapter 22, canto 4. One is able to please the spiritual master, who is both Brahman and Vaishnava, and one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, after that, what is the next thing that he has to achieve? Who can say? So, one can achieve anything which is very rare to obtain in this world as well as after death. If one achieves if one pleases the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Not only that, by pleasing the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, the Lord is pleased. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Dinanite kirtani sharadarshan rati raya sarup sane rasa asadan. In the daytime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in dancing and chanting and in seeing the temple of Lord Jagannatha. At night, in the company of his most confidential devotees, such as Ramananda Rai and Sarupa Damodar Goswami, he tasted the nectar of the transcendental mellows of Lord Sri Krishna's pastimes. Emato Mahaprabhu Sukhe Kalo Jai Krishna Virohe Viroha Bikar Anga Naha Nana Hai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happily passed his days in this way at Nilachola, Jagannath Puri. Feeling separation from Krishna, he exhibited many transcendental symptoms all over his body. Dine dine vare vikar ratri autisoy chinta udvega pralapadi jato sasti koi. Day after day the symptoms increased, and at night they increased even more. All these symptoms, such as transcendental anxiety, agitation, and talking like a madman, were present just as they are described in the Shastras. Sarupa Gosai Arama Nandarai Ratri Dine Kore Dohe Prabhu Asahai. Sarup Damodar Goswami and Rama Nandarai, the chief assistants in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, remained with him both day and night. Ako Dino Govinda Mahaprasad Loya Haridase Dite Gela Anandita Hoya. One day Govinda, the personal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went in great jubilation to deliver the remnants of Lord Jagannath's food to Haridas Thakur. Deke Haridas Thakur Kuriache Soyan Mando Mando Kuriteche Sankhya Sankirtan. When Govinda came to Haridas, he saw that Haridas Thakur was lying on his back and chanting his rounds very slowly. Govinda kohe utho asi koroho bojan Haridas kohe aji kori mulangan. Please rise and take your Mahaprasad, Govinda said. Haridas Thakur replied, today I shall observe fasting. Sankhya kirtana puri nahi kyamote kaivo Mahaprasad aniyacho kyamote upakibo. I have not finished chanting my regular number of rounds. How then can I eat? But you have brought Mahaprasad, and how can I neglect it? Ato boli Mahaprasad Kodila Bandan Akarancha Loyatar Kodila Bakan. Saying this, he offered prayers to the Mahaprasad, took a little portion, and ate it. Purport: Mahaprasad is not different from Krishna. Therefore, instead of eating Mahaprasad, one should honor it. It is said here, Kodila Vandana, he offered prayers. And when taking Mahaprasad, one should not consider the food ordinary preparations. Prasad means favor. One should consider Mahaprasad a favor of Krishna. As stated by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Krishna Boro Doya Moya Koribare Jiva Joya Swaprasada Anna Dilabai. Krishna is very kind. In this material world, we are all very attached to tasting various types of food. Therefore, Krishna eats many nice varieties of food and offers the food back to the devotees. so that not only are one's demands for various tastes satisfied, but by eating prasad, he makes advancement in spiritual life. Therefore, we should never consider ordinary food on an equal level with Mahaprasad. That's why when one takes Mahaprasad on the plate, they're supposed to finish all of the prasad, not leave any. One has to be very careful not to take more than what one can eat. Exception is the guru. He's supposed to leave something of each preparation for the disciples. The Prabhupada, he was very careful. Even if something was burnt, generally he wouldn't mention it till later, after prasad was gone, and he'd call the cook in and say that why that one preparation was burnt, you should be more conscious. System is that in the presence of prasadam, we don't offer criticism. We can take it that this is Krishna's mercy. It's not different from Krishna. Similarly, in front of the deities, we don't discuss other topics, nor do we give critical observations in front of the deity. We simply chant the holy name. These are all important aspects of Vaishnava etiquette. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Acharyas have written various songs for us to sing while we take prasadam. At the beginning of the meal, we say, Sarira vidya jaladra netahe kaljive fili vishoya sagare tarmadde divayati lobhamay sadurmati takechi dakutina sangsare Krishna bolo doyamoy kodi baro jiva joy sa prasadanandilo bai syannamita pao raha Krishna guna gao premi dako chitanya nitai. But also, throughout the entire meal, there are various prayers which have been written. But we are not always chanting those. There's a prayer to, when you eat the vegetables, there's a prayer to chant. Ek dina santi pure, prabhu adaita ghore, sag, the rest I forget. But there's a prayer for that time that we're supposed to say. So that someone could be there just to remind us. We all say in the beginning, then just at the time when the devotees start taking the vegetable, Eko dina santi puri, prabhu adaita gore. And you read out the prayer. Then there's another prayer when you get to the sweet preparations. There's 3-4 prayers like that. So that throughout the meal, you never forget that this is Krishna prasadam. You're always thinking of Krishna. If you think that it's ordinary food, it's an offense. So while sometimes we are invited to big feasts where all Vaishnavas attend, we are also there, even though not worthy of being called a Vaishnava. Then at that time, we found that while taking prasadam, in between the prayers, a few minutes in between the prayers, because prayers are coming, it only takes 10 minutes to eat, there's one prayer every 3-4 minutes, 15 minutes to take prasadam, honor prasadam. But then at that time, sometimes someone would yell out, Sadhu Sabdan! Sadhu Sabdan! Hari Hari Bo! Hari Bo! Be careful, O devotees, be careful. In other words, don't forget, this is prasad you're honoring. Don't think it's ordinary food. Chant the name of Hari, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Prabhupada personally told me that one of our practices of devotion is to take prasadam together, to sit down and take prasad together. This is where we associate. We don't have to associate, may not be possible to associate every time with all of the devotees, but one of the times we gather together is to take prasadam. That is also important. Even Krishna, we find in his kirtan, bhaja bhakata bhatsala sri gaura hari, sri gaura hari sahi gosta bihari, sri gaura hari sahi gosta bihari. that one of the songs there is that he's sitting, Sari Sari Vose. He's sitting in a line with his friends and they're all taking prasad. Even we find in Panihati, Lord Nityananda, he took prasad along with all of his associates and put a place there for Lord Chaitanya. So this is the system, is to take prasadam in association of devotees. The American way of fast food, drive in, get in the car, deliver to the car, eat, run, move, walk, standing. Even you can get a place where you can take food standing there, just standing, no time to sit. Next thing they'll have is you can eat while running on one of those machines, doing workout and eating at the same time. But this is not the actual system for honoring prasad. Actually, one takes sitting down. Until one's finished, one normally doesn't get up unless there's some emergency. And that's a detail. But the most important thing is to honor the prasad, to not forget that it's Krishna. And it's good if one has the opportunity, if the devotees are there, that they take prasad together. And serving prasad is not the job of the bhaktas. It's the job of the more advanced devotees. Actually, the brahmanas normally do the service of prasadam. So in Manipur, devotees come and give a feast for the GBC or for the Prabhupada's disciples. Then the brahmanas are the ones who give out the prasadam. The more senior devotees. We found even Mayapur, this is the system. Whereas in India, where you have different varnashram, if brahmanas serve, everyone will take. If the non-brahmanas serves, then the brahmanas, they won't take from him. But also, brahmanas shouldn't take prasadam from the hands. Of course, you can take prasad from anyone's hands, but technically, shouldn't take foodstuff from uninitiated people. Sometimes you see in the some guest is given, walks in off the street, you don't know if he's clean, if he's washed his hand, he's given the pots you serve out prasad. In one sense, it's nice that he's being engaged in Krishna's service, but then will that be the proper honor to prasadam? He might give out the plates or give out something, clean the floor, do some type of service. But actually the prasadam, it's nice if it's given out by devotees as far as possible. If it's not possible, then. So just as we don't consider Krishna equal, anything equal or greater than Krishna, we don't consider ordinary food to be equal or greater than Mahaprasad. Even if someone brings in, you know, nice, wonderfully prepared food made in some prasad with all pastry and everything, but we won't consider that equal with Mahaprasad. Any kind of Mahaprasad we'll consider to be unlimitedly times more valuable and important. So the devotee, they're not eager to go out and eat sumptuous food from some rich man's house, but they're very happy if they get a little Mahaprasad from the deity in the temple.
Ardina Mahaprabhuta Tai Aila Shustaha Horidas Bolitari Puchila.
The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Haridas's place and inquired from him, Haridas, are you well?
Namaskara kori te ho koilari vedan sharira shushta hayamor ashushta buddhimon.
Haridas offered his obeisances to the Lord and replied, my body is all right, but my mind and intelligence are not well.
Prabhu kohe kon byadhi kohoto nirnoi te ho kohe shankhya kirtana puroi.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further inquired from Haridas, can you ascertain what your disease is? Haridas Thakur replied, my disease is that I cannot complete my rounds. Purport. If one cannot complete the fixed number of rounds he is assigned, he should be considered to be in a diseased condition of spiritual life. Srila Haridas Thakur is called Namacharya. Of course, we cannot imitate Haridas Thakur, but everyone must chant a prescribed number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have fixed 16 rounds as the minimum so that the Westerners will not feel burdened. These 16 rounds must be chanted and chanted loudly so that one can hear himself and others. Sometimes people say, can't we chant the holy name mentally? Of course, there is chanting mentally. But like Haridas Thakur would chant 100,000 names loudly, 100,000 names softly, and 100,000 names mentally. So after you finished your 64 rounds loudly and 64 rounds softly, then after that, you can chant the remaining, any rounds you do, you can chant mentally. We also allow. But since you're only doing 16 rounds, then those you have to do loud. The first, yeah. Loudly means so you can hear it. What? Not that question again. What happens? You get some. That way, Lord Chaitanya's name is 1,000 times more powerful than Krishna's name. So then if you chant 25 times the name of Lord Chaitanya, then I chanted 16 rounds. All these things, you see, one cannot speculate like that. That this time of day, the name is more powerful, so then I chant less. Promised our spiritual master that we'll chant so many rounds. If we chant more powerful rounds, that makes it easier to chant the remainder. If one, whatever number of rounds a person's assigned, he should finish that. So Prabhupada promised if someone chants 16 rounds, takes initiation, follows the system, then they'll achieve perfection. Because some people not even able to chant 16 rounds, so to encourage them, we say, all right, you fix a number of rounds, whatever you can chant, and chant that, and gradually you increase it up to 16. Once someone is doing 16, though, they shouldn't reduce. They should vow and chant the same number of rounds every day. Prabhu kohe briddho haila sankhya lopo koro siddho deho tumi sadhune agraho kene koro. Now that you have become old, the Lord said, you may reduce the number of rounds you chant daily. You are already liberated, and therefore you need not follow the regulative principles very strictly. Report. Unless one has come to the platform of spontaneous love of God, he must follow the regulative principles. Thakur Haridas was a living example of how to follow the regulative. Similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami was also such a living example. In the Shat Goshami Ashtaka, it is stated, Shankya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kalavasana Krita. Goswamis, especially Raghunath Das Goswami, strictly followed all the regulative principles. The first regulative principle is that one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly enough so that he can hear himself. And one must vow to chant a fixed number of rounds. Not only was Raghunath Das Goswami chanting a fixed number of rounds, but he had also taken a vow to bow down many times and offer obeisances to the Lord. In other words, how many thousand times he would offer obeisances every day that he would take? If someone wants to do aerobic or something, they can just take a vow, I'll bow down 108 times or 1,008 times to the deity, and automatically they'll get this advantage of bowing down to the Lord, and simultaneously they'll get exercise. Dancing and kirtan should be the first exercise. After that, other things can follow if needed. So, All these great devotees, of course, they were on the spontaneous platform of love of Godhead, but they followed very strictly regulative principles, some more than others. But generally, they all showed a very exemplary standard of following regulative principles. Some were more, when they reached the advanced stage, they are doing some other specific service, which was considered to be important. Now, Lord Chaitanya, he would sometimes advise the devotee, just like Haridas Thakur, he was told, you just chant. You chant and describe the glories of the name. He wasn't cooking, he wasn't doing worship, he wasn't doing other services. He was chanting. That was his service. There was another devotee Lord Chaitanya had called Bhagavat Acharya. His service was to read the Srimad Bhagavatam practically 24 hours a day. That's all he would say. Apart from taking a little rest and prasad at the time, he would simply sit and read the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya gave him the Bhagavatam and said, you sit here and you chant. You read the Bhagavatam. So some devotees might be given some service to do. So by doing that service, that includes everything else because it's the order of Guru. You see, Prabhupada would also give services like that. Sometimes when we were in Mayapur, he wanted us to build the buildings. He didn't want us to do anything else at that time except chant our japa and build the buildings. Even I asked once if we could read some books. He said, you think that reading my books and building my buildings is different? You think one is material? So Prabhupada, he would sometime engage the particular devotees in particular specific services like that. But of course, other devotees, they might not understand it. They don't know how this is going to be done in the future. Whether the GBC will give some devotees specific services, or whether they'll authorize the advice of the gurus of a future disciple. What's the system they're going to follow? I don't know. But there's a system that someone might be given a specific service to do, and that service is considered their practice of regulative principles. Right now, at the present time, everyone follows a general routine of regulative principles and does their service. Sometimes there would be exceptional cases in the history of this movement where a person might be given a specific service and was to concentrate totally in that service as their regulative principle. So, loka nistari te tumar avatar namera mohima loke kodila prachar. Your role in this incarnation is to deliver the people in general. You have sufficiently preached the glories of the holy name in this world. For Raj Thakur as Nama Acharya, because it is he who preached the glories of chanting Harinama, the holy name of God, by using the words Tumar Avatar, your incarnation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that Haridas Thakur is the incarnation of Lord Brahma. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that advanced devotees help the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his mission, and that such devotees are personal associates incarnate by the will of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord incarnates by his own will, and by his will, competent devotees also incarnate to help him in his mission. Haridas Thakur is thus the incarnation of Lord Brahma, and other devotees are likewise incarnations who help in the prosecution of the Lord's mission. Haridas Thakur is actually the incarnation of Lord Brahma. See, Lord Brahma, when he had offended Krishna by stealing his calves and cows, cowherd boys, in Vrindavan, and then after he came back and Krishna revealed the unlimited Narayana forms and how every calf and cow was not different, just like we have there, the boys were all taken. So when he came back, and Brahma saw that after 1 year gone, He saw that there Krishna was with all the cowherd boys and calves. He said, I just told him how he still has them all present. He looked, maybe he's taking them from the cave. He thought back by meditation. He saw, no, in the cave, they're still there hidden. He thought he'd played a joke on Krishna, but he found, no, they're still in the cave hidden. And he looked, no, but they're still here, exactly the same. They compared the two, they're the same. They said, maybe by Krishna's mystic power, when I'm looking here, he takes him from the cave, put away, look there, back. Maybe there's a duplicate. Or maybe this, his brain started, couldn't figure it out. How the same boys are simultaneously present in two places. Whether it was an illusion, or whether it's true, or what was then at that time, each of those boys were actually non-different, they're Krishna's own expansion, so they start manifesting the Brahmas and Shivas and Vishnus and everything coming out, unlimited Lakshmi and so on. So then Lord Brahma, he became very astonished and he offered his obeisances. So Lord Krishna forgave him, but after that he was feeling really bad. I'm such a rascal. I steal from my own master because of my false pride. So he went to Navadvip Dham and there he did worship of Krishna, his Gauranga form or Lord Chaitanya form. Wherever Lord Brahma sits is called the center of the lotus. That center lotus is called the Antar. So the place of Navadvip Dham where Lord Brahma sat is called Antar Dweep. And there are those who are the servants of Antar Dweep in this world. So Lord Brahma was sitting there in Antar Dweep doing his worship, and finally Lord Chaitanya appeared to him. He became so jubilant. He was jumping up and Haribo, Haribo, then he was paying his obeisances and jumping up and paying. He didn't know what to do. He was just so excited to see the beautiful form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his lotus eyes, his lotus feet, his broad chest, his devoted. But then, that time, he prayed to the Lord. The Lord said, what is it you want? And he prayed to the Lord that, my Lord, I want to be your devotee. But I'm so proud by being a Lord Brahma that I commit offenses to you. I get infatuated by this mode of passion and my controlling position. So half my life is already gone. Other half is remaining. So still I'm not purely Krishna conscious, so I need your mercy that I can become and remain completely pure in Krishna consciousness and that in your devotion, and that I may not fall down again into illusion. So then, Lord Chaitanya said, Tatasta, so be it. The other question, one thing Brahma asked for. Also, I know you're coming in the Kali Yuga in this beautiful form and you're giving out freely mercy of love for Godhead to everyone. So I'd like to come in to participate in your pastimes as your servant. So then Lord Chaitanya, he said, yes, let it be. And he said, you're going to come before me. You're going to take birth in a Yavana family, in a family of meat eaters. Because of this, you'll be forced to be humble by being born in this type of lower caste in terms of Vedic culture. But every day you will chant 300,000 times the holy name of the Lord. And this chanting is so powerful that by chanting here in this world with me, for that period you'll go back to, you'll become completely purified, so you won't have the danger of falling down for the remainder of your life. Then he said that you'll also be known as Haridas. And you'll be one of my associates at that time. And he disappeared. So Lord Brahma, he said to Lord Brahma, now you go back to your place and you come at the appropriate time. So he went back to Satyaloka for 5,000 moments. Because for him, 1 year is... So immediately went, just like 5,000 moments, went there for maybe not even one of his days, a few hours, a few minutes. Went back, got everything organized. Came back. Yes? Amatattva, should someone artificially think they're very advanced? So the point is that until we leave the body, practically, or until we, so long we have a material body, material thoughts can enter in the mind, material desires can pass through the mind. Like Prabhupada said, when somebody came and said, Prabhupada, I have got no lust. Prabhupada said, what's wrong with you? You got some physical defect or something? He said, even I have lust. But I am too busy to think about it. The point is that pure devotion means that one stays so busy in Krishna's service, you work so hard during the day that when you come home at night, you just want to just hit the sack. No energy for anything else. Stay so busy, just like when Mayadevi came to Lord, in form of the prostitute, came to Haridas Thakur. She said that I need to be satisfied. He said, yes, you just wait, I have to finish my rounds. So you're so busy chanting that time just went up. So Maya comes knocking. Is there any service I can do? You just wait. I have to finish my service. The first service, since it never finishes, so Maya is always waiting. Eventually, Maya becomes so bored waiting that she goes away. But until that time, Maya is there. She's always ready, like a shadow. But we are not looking to Maya, we're looking to Krishna. Krishna is like the sun. If you look to the sun, you don't see your shadow. Look away from Krishna, then you see the shadow. So the point is that one may have different desires, but then one should try to satisfy those desires in a regulated manner, according to the regulative principles. And this way, by dovetailing those desires, so Krishna said that if a person has sex desire, then they should get married. And as a product of their sex, then they have a Krishna conscious child, and then their service to Krishna is try to make that child a devotee. There are so many souls in the world being born, Varna Sankara kind of relationships. So if some soul gets opportunity to be born from a Krishna conscious parent, then there's a good chance they can get liberation in this lifetime. You see, when we do the annaprasana and they say, what are the tendencies of the child from the previous life? They pick the money or the book or something. That shows simply what was their previous tendency. That doesn't mean that in the future they cannot still be pure devotee. Simply shows that what was their previous tendency when they're just young like that, only 6 months old. So, because they still, that previous life impression is somewhat there. We give the proper environment so that the children can be God conscious. You see, if everybody has idea that I won't have any children because it's too much trouble, I'll be attached to the child, it'll be a maya. Instead, I'll just hold as long as I can, not have any sex until I get really agitated, then I'll just fall down, and then I'll just hide it from everyone and then continue to go on. This is totally bogus. Artificial. The point is that either a person is able to remain so occupied with devotional service that even if material desire comes in the mind, that you can just say, please wait, I have no time right now. And it just goes on waiting until it goes away. Or if that desire is so strong, that thought is so forceful that it's going to drag our senses away, then one is supposed to try to become more responsible and be a Krishna conscious grihastha and then have a child. Even though it's a, you may say it's attachment, but they would dovetail that attachment by learning what it is to be responsible. Then you'll learn firsthand, because by having that desire, we're going to have to take birth again. There's no doubt about it. So see firsthand what is birth. You see, whether we get married or not, whether we have a child or not, we are going to experience birth. We are going to experience childbirth so long as we have this tendency to have illicit sex. So better to have Vedically authorized sex and then experience childbirth through someone else. In other words, our child. We can see the child born. We can give a chance for that child to go back. By that austerity, one learns to become very responsible. Actually, the grihastha life is more responsible. More material responsibilities are there. But those material responsibilities are dovetailed in a Krishna conscious way. So in this way, then if one can be peaceful. You see, if one is being disturbed and agitated, and they're not peaceful because of too much sex life, desire for sex life, then they can be peaceful in this way. There's no peace in the material world anyway, but to whatever extent one can be peaceful, that's if one will be peaceful by having sex, then that can be had in this regulated way. Ultimately, there's no limit. No matter how much you eat, you want to eat more. Just simply that we get filled up, we can't eat. Otherwise, the Romans are taking the, you know, regurgitation method for just going on eating and eating. So like that, every sense is demanding more and more. So that way, if we unlimitedly try to just provide our senses whatever they want, we just waste ourselves and we don't ultimately achieve any satisfaction anyway. The senses are never satisfied. So, but by eating prasadam at a particular, learn to control the senses by taking Krishna prasad. Similarly, by having regulated sex life in a Krishna conscious way, then also that helps to gives us an opportunity to bring things under a certain control, under a certain routine. We can tell the mind, if you say no, never, the mind revolts. No, yes. You say, no, next month, this time, whatever. So then it helps to control. Just like we follow Ekadasi. We know the next day we'll take grain. All right, this day I'm fasting. If someone said you have to fast to death, then you get frightened, right? But if it is one day, all right. Even people are doing this fast for their health, 1 week fast, and they're going on. So similarly, These systems are there that we follow certain regulative things with our sensual activities to purify them. We engage them in Krishna's service. And the composite nature of this is that we can fix our mind gradually more and more on Krishna. Now, whether or not we go back in this life or the next life, we should try, to whatever extent we can, to do as much service to Krishna as possible. Krishna has given us different ways to serve Him. You see, whether renounced order, whether married order, or whether this in the temple, or whether in a grihastha ashram, one should take advantage of whatever alternatives Krishna has given and do that which is most suitable under the guidance of Guru for a particular person. Even Ajamil, he was so sinful, but last breath he said Krishna's name, he got delivered. So there's never a loss of hope. We can always, of course, we shouldn't think that, well, Ajamil chanted one time, so let me do sin my whole life, let me do anything I want, then at the end I'll just chant Krishna. That won't be very effective. That won't be recommended. But we should try, and even if we're not 10% perfect, it simply means the odds are different. The odds of Ajamil chanting Krishna's name at that moment were like one in a million or something, whatever. I don't know the exact odds, but it was very left, very poor odds that he would chant. But still there was always some chance he chanted. Now, Prabhupada said, if you're 100% Krishna conscious, then there's 100% chance you're going to chant Krishna's name. If you're 90% Krishna conscious, 90% like that. But up to 70% Krishna, I will still deliver you. That's almost guaranteed. Although we shouldn't try for 70%, then we may only get 40 or 38 or something. We should try for 100%. You see. But there's a little bit gap. Just like you try to get A's, straight A's, but if you get a C, you pass. Even get D, you can pass. But it's not with somehow or another. Main thing is, at the end, who passes? If you pass with A level or you pass with just a pass-fail, somehow if you can pass, that's your credit. Even if you don't pass, you get again to sit in the class again, one more chance. And there's sometimes some people, just as a mercy case, even though they're maybe 30% Krishna conscious, they may also pass. There's a certain quota there, Krishna has set. So you should never give up hope. You should always try. But try to increase your possibilities for being delivered. Make it easy for Krishna to deliver you. The more you're Krishna conscious, the easier it is for Krishna to deliver. Any other questions? Antardweep. Das. How do you know that Lord Brahma has the best memory in the universe? Is there anywhere that number of heads increases memory? Ravana had 10 heads. Ravana had 10 heads, but he couldn't remember that you shouldn't fight against Vishnu. Krishna, when he comes, he's always coming. Why? More than every day. In the day, he's coming so many times. But sometimes he comes as a boar, sometimes as a fish, sometimes as a tortoise, sometimes as a half lion, sometimes as a. Each time he's coming in a different form. So it's not always that, Sometimes you just have to think even that this is Krishna. When Krishna came as the boar, he came out of the nose, just a small little speck in the ground from Brahma's nostril. And then all of a sudden it became bigger and bigger and bigger and filled the whole sky. So sometime Krishna is coming, that also Brahma is hard put to sometimes recognize that this is the Vishnu. He said, yes, it must be Vishnu. They finally realize, but he comes in so many forms. So when he comes as Krishna, Krishna then is just a little boy, he's playing. Is it the same Krishna? Somehow Lord Brahma, he thought it was Krishna, but he wasn't sure. Then he thought, let me play a joke. Then he thought, why am I doing playing a joke? Like that. Sometimes you walk in the guru's room and offer some suggestion as if you're the guru. Then you think, why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. These things happen. So Brahma had some idea, then he did it, then he thought, that's not the thing to do. Then he came back, then he saw, then he was really bewildered when Krishna... Just for a moment. He just did the thing and for a moment. He thought this is Krishna, otherwise why he took the coward with? But he wasn't 100% sure. They did it, said, no, it must be Krishna. Then I'm really in trouble. Now I go back. Then also Lord Brahma has a day, but his is quite a long day. It's action-packed. Most of the day we're spending, in the material world, people spend half asleep anyway. Brahma is fully awake. I mean, every second he's seeing everything that's going on. Although his day is a day, but at the same time he's more conscious in that day. He's conscious of, so he's, one day he can fill in more things than we fill in so many lifetimes. Also, he's in the mode of passion. So in the mode of passion, you become very impetuous, very impulsive, very creative, very ingenious, imaginative. All these things are there. So that in passion, being the Lord in the Lord of, mode of passion, sometimes it affects him. He gets an idea, do it. Without thinking, he might do it to that extent. Yes? Read the second canto Bhagavatam. Shows how he creates his work. How he does his work. He's so powerful by willing, but he knows the technique. If you want to know how to do it, you have to be a Brahma. What do you think? If you can ask me how to build a Sony tape recorder, I can't tell you, ask me how to build the universe. That we can tell you from the Bhagavatam. This is how he does it. The basic step by step. How to take down an engine. First you first thing is open up the hood. Right? Then you loosen the screws. Then you like this. So this is this is the step by step. But then even if someone gives you step by step, if you try to do it, you go there and you try, just like I told one devotee in the airplane, you just put the bag up in the thing over. So he goes there, everyone's laughing. He's got his fingernail on the crack trying to open up. I didn't tell him you have to pull a little, that handle and then it opens. So he said, okay, first thing, put bag in overhead rack. Just trying to open overhead rack. You may tell someone that you go, this is how you fix a car. You first have to open the hood. You sit there, hammering on it, trying to... He doesn't know you have to open up inside car. You open up glove compartment and pull the switch and then the hood comes. He's trying to open it away, you see. So like that, it gives a system, this is how it happens. But if you want to go the technique, then you have to go into that how he does it. There's definitely some technique there. That's why he's Brahma. It's no small joke. How he takes the thing from the mind and makes into ether, how from ether into... This that we know this how he does it. That you do it. You hear some ether now. You're not Lord Brahma. That basic how it is happened, is what happening, is giving an overview, but how the technique, he knows that. That's why he's a empowered incarnation. The guna avatar, he's given that quality. He's sitting meditating, his whole universe is coming about. That's how powerful his meditation. We sit and work like anything, nothing happens. This is called lazy intelligence. He just thinks and everything's happening. Itai Priya. Well, falling back into Maya, the question doesn't arise until we get out of Maya. To get out of Maya, to fall back in Maya. So if you get out of Maya, then there's no worry to fall back in Maya. Krishna says, Navnuvanti Mahatmanas. If you get out of Maya, you don't fall back. Birth after birth is that if you don't get out of Maya, then you have to continue serving to get out of Maya. So you don't regress. You come at the same position. Unless, of course, you start at the same position. You have to develop from there. And if you achieve Krishna, then you don't fall back into Maya. It's a general rule. You're imitating Mahaprabhu. Maybe some connection.
I don't understand this story, that he wanted to know exactly how he said. So my dad told him to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, I already listened to that, but I want to know exactly how he So he said, all right, for 1 minute, I can give you revelation in your consciousness how he exactly does it. So you are ready? He said, yes. So my dad blessed him. In that moment, he said, no, 10,000.
That's why he has four heads. You try to fit it all in one head, you break up.
Actually, four times Brahma gave up his four heads in the process of creation.
Also, don't think his head is... It's not just one head like our head. It's not a meat head. Or a fish head. His body is also not made of this gross, what do they call it, brain spasm or something? What is that called there? Plasmas or something? Cells and celluloids, I forget, they have all terminology. But it's not made of this, his body is not made of earth. He's not earthly. He's not human, beyond human. He has all the human qualities, but more than that. His body is made of far more durable substance than these fleshy bodies. That's why he's not visible to the human being unless he wants to be visible. So then if we try to fit it within our brain, even just trying to figure out the simple things, people are cracking their brain. So now we gotta, don't try to do Brahma's job for him, try to do your job. Somehow you can become Krishna conscious even with a feeble human brain. But if you try to create the universe with this brain, then it'll crack. For that you have to have a Brahma brain. But animal brain can't understand Krishna, neither can it create the universe. Human brain may not create the universe, but human brain can understand some basic understanding of enough that you can go back to Krishna. That is the wonder of human life. You don't have to be a Brahma to become Krishna conscious. But if you want to create the universe, you want the detail exactly how to do, then you have to be a Brahma. Because Brahma has got that much intelligence. You see, just like if the man working on the assembly line, he says that just for one day, I want to sit and become the chairman of the board. You see, but he's not going to be able to deal with all the takeovers from the other companies and this and that and this income tax and this and the various things. He only know how to tighten up the screw as it comes. So that's the thing. But even if a person eventually can be chairman of the board, but then he has to increase his intelligence. So if you want to be Brahma, you have to increase your material intelligence. That involves going through a few changes of body. And the moral of the story, the yogi, he wanted to bite off more than he could chew. Instead of wanting to become Krishna conscious or God realized, he was all involved in all these other things, totally abstract. So he got a blessing. Matera Muni had the power to give such a blessing. But no one could anticipate what would be the result of that. Just like you say, please make one. What is an atomic explosion like? Well, you know, it's right. No, I just want to see it. Just make one right here. You're all sitting there, right? Oh. But after that, then you're all finished. You ask for it. I want to know what it's like to... But you didn't ask to first give me such a body that I can handle it. See, overloaded. This is what we call, you should avoid speculation. You sit around speculating. What is it like to be a Brahma? It's not just having four heads. He's got much more than that. You should try to understand what it's like to be a pure devotee of Krishna. Try to serve Krishna and achieve that. The devotional aspect of Brahma, that we can achieve. But the creational aspect of Brahma, it's like a little person has an IBM PC, wants to know what it's like to be a computer, like they used to send off those... Challengers and rockets to outer space. If you have a computer and you try to load too big a program, the computer, it says divide over, this whole thing freezes up. It's like that. It's all beyond its capacity. So to run the entire material universe, to create it and see that everything is going, that requires some special material intelligence. We don't need that material intelligence to function in this planet. You need a little more material intelligence to be able to drive on the highways than you need to drive a bullock cart. But spiritually, the person driving the bullock cart may be far more advanced than somebody driving on the freeway here in America. So we should try to develop our spiritual intelligence and those aspects of Lord Brahma where he advised us about the spiritual truth for our education. We can understand that because that's something that comes from the soul. The soul can start to realize the human life means we're not so covered up that we cannot understand these things. We can understand because we're a little bit less covered up than in animal life. But the demigods, they got more material intelligence. That's also a liability. They have so much material intelligence and ability and powers that also becomes a distraction. They get involved in all those controlling aspects. So they think that they're on top of the thing. Because they're a little bit aloof from the gross kind of material suffering. Their suffering is very less, very, very different type, very subtle. Just subtle anxieties and things As you go higher up, then the growths, they don't get generally disease and things like that. Old age comes just one day for many of them. For some, different categories are there. So that's also a liability when you have so much material things in your mind. They not only have to think about Krishna, they have to think about the whole universe. But if they're doing it as a devotional service, then it's perfect. If they're doing it as a material, that's the problem. How to do everything as a devotional service? Whether you're a managing director of a big company, or whether you're the street sweeper, or whatever you are, you have to do it for Krishna. But when things become more and more complicated, then you have to be more conscious of Krishna. You have to be more, it's easier to forget the more complex things are. When it's very simple, it's easier to remember Krishna. In one sense. So Prabhupada said that let the devotees in the society, they should just concentrate on their particular service. The managers, they may have to deal with so many things. But each individual devotee should deal with their particular service. Don't have to worry about the global problems and the zonal problems and things like that. They just have to deal with their own devotional service. That's the fallacy of the modern democracy. Every person is reading the paper trying to figure out what should our foreign relations be with this country. And they're only getting distorted news in the paper. They're not getting the full. The president makes some decision based on the CIA, National Security Council, Secret Service, FBI, this, all so many. What we read in the newspaper is just some speculation. Some guy writes a few things, you know. Then we're supposed to judge whether that was the right decision or not. So instead of being Krishna conscious, we're all controlling the world through our newspapers. So it's actually a distraction. It's a waste of energy. What's needed is that we should use our energy to be Krishna conscious. To whatever extent something concerns us, we should be involved. And to whatever it doesn't concern us, we should just do our service and not get distracted. Okay? Hare Krishna.